Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
While Leon and Roxy get closer, Amanda and Edie get a little steamy too. Let's see what happens. You're watching the Almost Family After Show.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody?
Hey. Hello, hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Almost Family After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Brianna Cheyenne, and I'm here with my sisters from another mister.
I love that.
Princess Carol is here, the biggest Emily Osment. Oh, wait, no, you're not an Emily Osment fan.
I am, though.
You are?
Yes.
Okay.
But not quite as big as me.
Okay. She's a throwback Emily Osment fan. And she's going to be taking care of the special segment today, DNA Dominoes. But she does not compare to Jessica Lucero, who
What's up, guys? The
biggest Emily Osment fan
in the world. We're going to try and get her on this season.
Put it out there.
Speak it into existence.
Yes. Everybody's getting really cozy this episode. We saw Amanda and Edie having a steamy moment that Tim almost walked in on.
I like
that. That was a super close call.
Yeah.
And then Roxy and Leon are kind of building some sort of bond. I'm not too sure how I feel about it, so we're going to get into that as well. We have some news and gossip, and of course, like I said, our special segment. But first, we're going to start off with our overall thoughts. So what'd you guys think?
You know, overall thoughts with this episode, I found myself kind of wanting more. I feel like it's only eight episodes in this season, mm-hmm. so I'm like, I just want more from each episode. I want so much because you know that it's going to have to move pretty quickly. And while there was a decent amount to happen between someone like Edie and Amanda, the mm-hmm. two of them, they had a little bit going on there. But I still am like, guys, keep it coming. I am so ready for them to just keep throwing bombs at us.
Okay. What'd you think, Princess?
I actually agree with you. Even with Edie and Amanda, mm-hmm. I feel like we haven't gotten a backstory. It's just, it went from we're getting lunch to we're kissing, mm-hmm. but I have no context.
Right.
And I feel like because it's only episodes, they might be trying to pick up the pace, but I need some backstory on everybody. Like, you can't just give me one sentence and call it a day.
I agree because it doesn't make it realistic. I don't like shows that I remember that I'm watching a show. I want to forget. I want the storyline to be that convincing.
Mm-hmm. Feel like you're involved with the show.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Feel like you're one of their sisters.
Yeah, like, I want to have that emotional connection. But I did enjoy this episode. Mm-hmm. I was kind of wanting more. I secretly wanted Tim to see them making out in the hallway. I'm not going to lie.
I'm like, Julia.
Yes. I was like, what? Julia?
Freaking snitch.
And it shows, but it shows that Julia is a really good person.
Yeah.
Because knowing that Tim left her for her, well, frenemy, and then she's still kind of protecting him from getting his feelings hurt from something like that. It shows, like, she's a good person. She's a good person.
Could it be me? Like, at some point, I'm gonna need her to tell the truth. Or I guess it seems like next episode she might confront her sister.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see.
Oh my god, I like how you're already saying she might confront her sister.
Her sister.
Just throwing that in there. Just throwing out the previews. But yes.
But let's start off with Julia because she admitted that she's the one who gave the police the laptop. And she's really kind of fed up with Leon and his shenanigans.
Yeah.
And I think it's because she has this animosity towards him because she could have had this whole life where she could have gone to medical school. And instead, she decided to be vice president of communications for her dad.
Glorified secretary.
Glorified secretary.
Secretary. That's what that really is.
Yeah. So how do you guys feel about Julia and her the turn of events that's happening and the way she's been treating Leon?
You know, it's really sad that she has pretty much lived her entire life to kind of be the backbone for her dad, and now he let her down in the biggest way ever. He has been doing some very shady things, and she finds herself looking around everywhere she goes to see, maybe she sees similarities in this person and this person and just everyone passing by her. She's just been let down so much by her dad. It's like, it's honestly, that's terrible to have lived your life for that long, your entire life, and then nope, like your dad is a completely different person than you thought he was.
I think this is another example of, I would love to have more context, because when we first meet her in the pilot, she has a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. She still has that chip. And I get it. Her father doesn't seem like the most, the person that I would trust the most. But at the same time, I would love to get an episode where we just get a little bit more of her backstory, find out what exactly has gone on between her and her father growing up. I need more than you just saying, he's told me what to do my entire life. I need a little bit more than that, even if it's just as simple as a flashback, or maybe her confronting her dad and having a true let me tell you off moment. It would be really, to me, it would be really impactful and really helpful in me even empathizing with her. Because now, I understand her situation. It's terrible. But I have no context for why she's angry all the time. Like, I need more.
You're kind of wondering why she's done so much for him all of her life, you know, like she's the kid.
Just show me more of that, like
Or just why. It's like explanation of what built up to it.
Is there some sort of devotion? Was he there for her in a way that her mother wasn't? Or even what was her relationship with her mother? Unanswered questions.
I agree. The context part is a really big part of it. I think that the scene where she was at the board meeting, basically talking to them about she went there when she was selling Girl Scout cookies, and I'm just watching her give this whole emotional spiel, and the whole time I'm thinking, this is not the job for you. You're not cut out for this. You're at a board meeting talking about your childhood.
Yeah.
This is business. You can't mix up your personal childhood memories with something as if your business is going under, and you're pulling this sympathy card thing, thinking you're pulling at people's heartstrings, and the whole time you're about to get fired. And she was hit with a quick reality. And the thing is,
they're like, we don't care.
Yeah, but I didn't feel bad for her that she got fired, because I don't think she has it in her to run it. That's my opinion.
Well, clearly neither does her father. I mean, at the end of it, we see him kind of, sort of in cahoots with Isaac,
You've always been my number two.
So, I mean, but at the same time, that clause was in her contract. So why would you have that clause? I'm so confused.
Well, he probably never thought that this would happen.
Yes.
That's true.
I think that is true. And I also think that he expected her to just hand it off to Isaac and say, you know what, I trust you. Because she said, I'm not a doctor. I don't have the arrogance of knowing everything like you guys do. So I think her dad expected her to just pass it on to Isaac, seeing how Isaac and Leon's relationship is.
It is weird, though, seeing... I like the way that you said, well, I don't necessarily like it, but the fact that you said you don't think she's cut out for it, I agree with you there. But also, when you think about a good doctor that you actually want to go to for everything, you think about someone that you can actually sit and talk with. And so in that way, I think she's very cut out for it, but the business side of it, I completely agree with you there.
I think she needs a partner. Because you do want to have that compassionate person. It is or was family owned and operated. So I think it's good to have that personal touch, but maybe she handles one side of it and she has a medical professional to handle the medical side of it. Like some sort of partnership.
Isaac
would be perfect.
And Isaac would be good.
That really shows Leon's business mentality, because I'm sure he's the one that said, I want you to be the communications person, because he saw that trait in her, that you're good. You can be the face because you have this caring, nurturing side of you. Because I know you're not going to be in the doctor's office with me, so I'll put you to use and, you know, use you how I can. I want to talk more about Leon, but first, Princess, I want you to share this special message with our listeners.
Exactly. So, guys, before we move on to our next topic, Leon, mm-hmm. we just want to thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And for us to continue to grow, we could really use you guys' help. So if you're on YouTube right now, please hit the thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave a comment, interact with us, and get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz has meant so much to the three of us, and we really thank you guys for supporting us. Please continue to like, subscribe, and keep watching our shows. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. So, Leon. Leon is one manipulative guy. I was going to say terrible. Another word. But I remember right after us. But Leon is just beyond manipulative. And first of all, the very first scene where he starts off trying to convince Julia, this is a witch hunt, they're just after me. Take responsibility for what you've done.
And don't try mm-hmm. to drag your daughter down with you.
Exactly.
Like, that right. is a felony, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So why would you do that?
Yeah.
No, that was yeah. bad. The first thing I wrote down about Dr. Beckley is that he really knows what to say, and I think mm-hmm. you hit it on the nose with that whole calling him manipulative, because that's the perfect word to describe him. Mm-hmm. He knows what to say to Isaac when he wants him to take charge. He knows Absolutely. What to say to his daughter. He knows what to say to Roxy, even, and he just met the girl. Mm-hmm. Like, he is so good. It doesn't matter who it is. He knows exactly what to tell them.
It's sick.
It is terrible.
And that's why even when it came down to his treatment and giving Julia the title of VP of Communications, mm-hmm. I don't even trust that was truly from a good place either. I feel like I don't know if I believe that he believed that she could do it, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I feel like it may have been a pacifier role. Like, you know what? I know that you're going to be frustrated. I mean, again, we don't have any history, any context, but just like, here's this title. Mm-hmm. You're going to be my secretary, but here's this title. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you can do anything other than mm-hmm. that. So I don't, or even having the clause. I don't, you just can't trust any part of him.
So why do you think that he took her in instead of allowing her to go pursue her medical career?
See, I think, again, that would be something we would need context for, mm-hmm. because it yeah. could be a situation where he knows that she can be manipulated, so you want to keep that person around Close. To do your dirty work. I mean, mm. she almost got rid of the laptop.
True.
So who knows what else she has done for him in the past or would be willing to do. That's someone, if you're that kind of person, mm-hmm. you would want to keep them around.
And keep yeah. them close. I think it's that he's not... He's great with people in that he is manipulative, like we said, but it's more that she knows what to... Like, she actually has that nurturing side that he doesn't have. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why she also has, or she kind of has more of a PR kind of position.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's not so much numbers or anything like that, but she's going to be the face to go out and hold these press conferences and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably why he kept her around.
Yeah. It also shows that even though he, like, to add on to the whole manipulation thing, she hit it right on the head when he was asking about, can you bring me that drawing, the drawing you did when you were a child? And she already said, you're doing that because you want me to feel sensitive. You want me to feel bad for yeah. you. And then it's going to lead into me doing another favor for you and another. But the thing is, what's so funny is that Julia knows this about herself, and she's very self-aware, and she yeah. knows she's still going to do it regardless. Right. And no matter how badly she doesn't want to care about her dad, she cannot control herself.
Right. Does she bring him the drawing? I didn't see that.
No, he took it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, when he and Roxy were at the hospital. For the
ankle thing. I was caught up in the drug moment.
And yeah. then
he made sure that that Julia could see it.
Yes. You know? Yes. I did. I peeped that. I did. I want to talk about Roxy and Leon getting closer, because I don't like it. Mm-mm.
That's weird to
it's
me.
It's so Mm-mm. weird. I think Roxy is super pushy, and I don't know if she really is desperate for family.
Yeah, I think that's all it is.
That's just what it is. Because I'm like, how, what do you guys think, like, it could be genuine if you're at a point of desperation? Because I feel like if you're desperate for something, I kind of question your motives.
No, heck no. Because when you look at people's relationships where a person wants to be in a relationship with someone else, they seem to, like, if they just want to be with someone else, they don't really care as much about that person as they should. You know what I mean? Like, they could definitely care. You should care about wanting to be with that person more than wanting to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever it may be. Whereas for Roxy, she just wants another family.
Because, a replacement.
Yeah. Her her current family sucks. They take half of her money and they, like, they just don't really care about her. But I don't think that she can actually expect Dr. Beckley to honestly be a good dad, because look at what he's done. Like, he can't be a great person after what he's done.
But she's blind to it, though.
Yeah. She's, like, trying to make it work. Yeah.
I think that's part of desperation. When people are desperate for love or anything else, but especially love, they just have these blinders on. The person can do no wrong. Or I believe that they see the red flags, but they just choose to step over them because they're so desperate. And I don't know if it's just for love. I think it's for family, for identity. I think that she's really looking for a lot, really, herself. Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's, I think she really is desperate. I don't know if it's specifically for family, but she's trying to fill something. And I think obviously that's what she's using the drugs for.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Also, what also makes me question how genuine it is, because I think that she's a natural competitor. And the comment she made to Julia really bothered me when she said, "You're just jealous because you have someone in competition for your dad's love."
Yeah,
and that really troubled me, because I'm like, one, you're out of pocket.
Yeah.
You, who are you to talk to me or try to convince me to forgive my father? You've known this man all for 48 hours, less than that. And you're coming, I'm letting you stay in my guest room, and you're coming to me talking about, "You should see your dad. You should forgive him. He's a good guy." Girl!
The audacity.
Have you lost your mind?
No.
Desperate, desperate, desperate.
And so then you're telling me that I'm competing for my dad's love from you? My dad is using you to get to me.
Yeah. Right, right.
And so that's just, it's so dangerous when you have someone that's competitive, full of pride, on drugs.
Desperate.
Desperate. Unstable.
Yeah. Yeah, so what is going on with her?
What do you guys think about Leon basically saying that he wants to help her get off drugs?
Oh, that I actually do like, but at the same time, okay, so this is what I think. Another time of him giving her what she wants to hear, that's going to keep her around. And he is, like, longing for companionship right now. So he's like, "I can help you with that." Obviously, that's not going to take 12 hours. That's going to take forever. That's going to take a while for that to actually happen. So she's going to have to stay there, visit with him very often. And they're going to have long talks. And, like, that'll keep him busy for a while, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think it's all stemming from.
I think, I don't know what the motive is, but I don't think there's a good one. Yeah, I think he's just finding a way to, obviously he can identify her addiction. We can all identify the fact that she's desperate, but he sees a place of vulnerability. And I think somehow, some way, he's going to find a way to use it, to take advantage of it. I wish I could say that his plans for her were from a genuine place, but
they're not.
We've seen he's not only manipulative, but he also believes that he can't do, he does no wrong.
He's a sociopath.
He is. So nothing he does can be trusted, unfortunately. And poor Roxy, I actually feel bad for her, because to behave like this, honestly, all of them are very broken. They're
very
human. But I feel for her, because she, I feel like she has nothing and no one that she feels like she can hold on to, not even herself.
Do you honestly think that he could identify that she was addicted, or do you think maybe he saw either her pills, or he saw her take the pills, or he saw something? Because when you think about it, there are so many different types of doctors. If you go to a doctor, what is it called? A doctor for your foot. They don't technically know what's wrong with your eyeball. You know, like, he's over here, like, "I'm a doctor. I know."
Think he did. I think he could tell by the way she was acting, because you can see when someone's pupils are dilated, or if they're not able to really form their words properly. I think there are certain things that doctors pick up on easier than the everyday person.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there is a possibility because Roxy is kind of sloppy with the way she yeah. is. So I wouldn't be surprised if he saw a couple pill bottles, you know.
Lying around somewhere.
Yeah, hanging out of her bag. She probably popped it in front of him like a Tic Tac and she forgot that it was a Vicodin. It's Roxy.
To that point, I think especially strong prescription pills like that, I think doctors are aware of the effects, mm-hmm. especially if you prescribe it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I'm sure that's something you cover in medical school is just, you know, there are some things that you just have
to study. A general thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So I feel like because it's a prescription pill, he knows the effects of it. Mm-hmm. I think he was probably able to pick up on that.
I think when you were talking about you don't know what his intentions are about trying to get Roxy off drugs, mm-hmm. I think that he looks at Roxy as a project, and she's going to be his redemption opportunity.
Ooh,
at least in Julia's eyes.
I hope so.
And it will translate into something maybe a little bit more public since he is fighting this case, and he's not a dumb guy. He's not some old... Right. You know, guy with that just wanted to help his community. He's very calculating. So I think he's looking at Roxy as his last saving grace to try to show that he can be a good guy.
Oh,
time
that's
will
just
tell.
What I think.
You know, that's a good prediction.
And I think that's a very good prediction.
I'm afraid of what will happen with Roxy to Roxy when she finds when she out the type of person he really is.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. she's already broken. Trying yeah. to
so broken.
Complete herself by becoming close with him is it's not gonna work.
Mm-hmm. It's know? Not. Not at all.
So
poor girl.
So speaking of mess.
Speaking of mess, guys.
Edie and Amanda. First of all, from episode one, I got lesbian vibes from Edie.
Really?
I got a lesbian first, because I don't want to backtrack too much, but I at first I thought she was having an affair on Tim when they had that encounter at the yoga place.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then after I saw the way she was looking at Amanda when she walked out and just like the nervousness and rage she had for no right. reason, I'm like, ooh, you like her because you're probably jealous of her.
Yeah.
And you see how confident she is in her own skin. Because Amanda's probably just out and is an out lesbian.
Right.
And she probably envies that. And then that was like, oh, Edie's a lesbian. All the way. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't surprised when I saw how steamy it got.
Really?
Yeah. Do you guys trust the relationship that she's kind of forming with? You guys don't trust Amanda?
No,
neither of us do.
Why? Tell me.
You have a good take on this one. You could go first.
First of all, the way that Amanda operates. Mm-hmm. So you have this love interest on the other side of it. And you know that she's going through a situation like this. And I feel like she's taking advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other side of it, too, is this is just how I operate. If I know someone's in a relationship, I'm going to respect that. Whether I know this person is in a situation or in a lifestyle that I know is not true to them, mm-hmm. I don't think it's respectful to try and draw someone out
Absolutely.
Of a relationship. So from a personal place, I think that shows the kind of person that she is mm-hmm. by doing something like that. And I frankly just don't trust her. I don't get good vibes from
yeah.
her.
Something's up.
I kind of feel like she might be using Edie and her confliction, she's going to use it somehow
yeah.
in the future.
To get Edie to not pay as much attention to her case as she
somehow.
Normally would or something
exactly.
along those lines. Mm-hmm. You know what I noticed with Edie is that when Julia comes around, mm-hmm. Julia being Tim's ex, she's so quick to say, that's my husband, we're married.
I know.
But when it's anyone else, when it's someone like Amanda, she doesn't really bring it up and it's mm-hmm. like, she just lets it slide, she makes out with her, it's like...
Even when Tim made comments about the way Amanda and Edie were going back in the courtroom, and the first thing she says was, well, were you jealous?
Yeah.
What straight woman says that to right. her husband about a woman that you claim you don't like?
Uh-huh.
But what I found interesting was I felt like there was some acknowledgement between them
mm-hmm.
that was the case. And I feel like we were talking, we're trying to figure out whether or not they're going to become swingers. Or some sort of open relationship.
I have that in my predictions. I'm not going to lie.
It seemed like he might be okay with this.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't, there was no clear acknowledgement on either side about whether or not he was jealous mm-hmm. or whether or not there was something between them. It just seemed to be a, okay, we have this sexual tension. Let's just work it out.
He was definitely turned on by it.
Yeah. Yes, he did say
but
that.
But Leon seems so in love with Edie. That I feel like even if Tim, sorry. Oh my God, that's gross. Sorry. Tim seems so in love with Edie.
Predictions.
That I feel like he wouldn't be able to handle if they did have a swinging relationship or just a threesome, because I feel like he would start to get self-conscious, because without even getting physical with Amanda, Edie was already arm's length with Leon, mm-hmm. very distant. So I can only imagine once they all cross that physical boundary, I don't think Tim would be able to handle that.
I don't think he's in love. I don't see it.
You don't think he's in love with Edie?
I think he's
in love
with her.
What?
Because he's back and forth with Julia going over to her house in the last episode.
I think it's out of care because he knows that he was wrong for doing what he did. And I think he just really wants... I think he's just a genuine good guy that wants to do the right
thing.
Yes,
but even then, when you see Julia, she goes over to their place and she's like, will you look at my contract? He's like, yeah, I'll definitely take a look at it. Like, he's so eager to jump whenever she needs help with anything.
I do think that he crossed a line by mm-hmm. doing that. I did think that was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. However, I also believe that he's in love with Edie. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he slept with her after that lack of acknowledgement between the two
God.
Of them,
yeah.
I think it could... I don't know. That might be the way their relationship goes and how it gets revved up again. I don't know. I have no idea.
The scene when they have sex, I thought it was interesting that what finally got her in the mood was talking about Amanda.
Yeah.
And so Tim didn't even really catch that.
She even brought it up after, and he was like, who's Amanda?
Yeah.
You know?
It's She's like, are you still jealous?
Yeah.
Why are you talking about this woman? I just laid pipe on you. And you're bringing up this woman again.
I didn't think about that.
That's why I'm just thinking, because she said, she told Amanda on this lesbian scale she's 50-50.
Yep.
But
no,
you're not.
Amanda called
She's
it.
She's leaning.
Yeah. Amanda called it. She seemed, didn't Amanda say she thought she was like 80-20 or something.
Amanda's
80-20. Amanda is 80-20.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But then Edie mm-hmm. ended up admitting that she's 60-40.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't think she's 60-40.
It's going
either.
Even more.
It We're is.
Gonna, next episode, it'll be 70-30.
Because she's getting more comfortable in who she really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is the first time she's ever been with a girl? Because she never
I
answered.
I think she didn't answer. I thought she said it was.
She didn't answer.
I don't remember hearing an answer.
And that's part of me felt like, okay. This is my theory. Mm-hmm. Part of me felt this. Like maybe back in college or early on, she had some flings.
Yeah.
It's college, probably.
Or was curious.
You get a little crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. She fell in love. I believe she genuinely fell in love with Tim.
Mm-hmm.
But now things are unraveling, and now she's feeling frisky again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's kind of going back to that. She talked about the thread. I think she's going back to that 20% or however much percent it is, that thread.
Mm-hmm.
The question for me is, why? Is she over Tim? Is she going through some sort of phase? Is it just she needs to get out some sort of expression? Is he not satisfying her? I don't know.
Because I'm trying to figure out, why are you still with Tim? Are mm-hmm. you with him because he's a safe zone?
Because she is
for the public eye? Right, because you are competitive. And I'm sure she probably feels like it would be harder for her to progress in her career as a lesbian mm-hmm. and that who is out. And it's easier for her to have a man on her arm. And on top of that, she's a black woman. Let's mm-hmm. not forget that, too.
That's true.
So I feel like she's still with him because it's just safer. And I think she respects him, but in a friendly way. I don't think she romantically feels
right.
anything
I agree
with
that.
Anymore.
You could just see it that she is lacking so much in that romantic side of those romantic feelings with Tim. I said this last week, I'll say it again this week, I really think a lot of it has to do with how competitive she is with Julia.
Absolutely.
She does not want him to go back to her, to his ex, and the chick that she does not get along with.
And that's why she fights all the time. She has so much tension every time he wants to help Julia. She's always like, why not? Yeah. What did she do to you?
Right.
She didn't steal your man. Right.
I feel like there's so much therapy that needs to take place.
We need flashbacks.
We need flashbacks. We need
some sort of context.
We need context.
Almost
something.
Family writers,
right. Please,
did
if
her
you're
and
listening.
Amanda know each other from college? How did her and Tim get together?
Because I know their moms were friends.
Yeah.
Their moms were friends.
No, not her and Julia, her and Amanda, the lawyer.
Oh, Amanda.
Right.
Amanda.
Yeah, I want to get more context on how did she and Tim get together.
I guess we'll figure that out more because we are just on the second episode.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, let's get into some news and gossip. Jessica, I know you have some juicy stuff for
us,
girl.
Dude, I have some juicy stuff. Let me fill you in on this. I'm going to read this title that was printed by the Daily Beast just recently. It was updated today. So it says, Almost Family enrages real-life children of doctors' secret sperm inseminations. It's disgusting, is what they say. Mm-hmm. So guys, this is something that has been happening worldwide. I shared this with you last week that there were a couple that were dating back to the 1970s. They were in Canada, all throughout America. Another one recently came out where a doctor has been doing secret sperm inseminations. And, you know, these people who are in these families who this happened to them, they're disgusted by this movie or by this show being there. They think that it's kind of too happy-go-lucky, and they're skipping over the fact that this is rape. This is sexual assault, not rape, sorry, sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And I think I agree with that. They definitely need to address that whole sexual assault issue a little bit more. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
When they announced that was the charge, I actually, in the pilot, I actually was excited because I wanted them to really dive into that subject. I feel like when people hear sexual assault, they don't think of this, but like you said, it happens more often than we realize, and I wish the show would delve a little bit more into that. I guess it would then become a true crime show.
Exactly.
You know, but it would change the genre, but still, I do feel like they glossed over it. They don't touch it enough. Mm-hmm. So I kind of agree.
I agree. I think there's too much comedic relief in the show to really. And the thing is, there is so much potential to take it all more seriously without turning into a crime thing. But I think it's, and no shade to anyone, but I just think it's lazy to go about it in the funny route. And then on top of that, when you're listening to a story like this and you're watching it from the perspective of Leon and Julia and everybody else on that end, you don't, as a viewer, you don't really comprehend how serious it is. Mm-hmm. But if you were someone on the other side as a victim, you would be viewing it in a totally different way.
Right.
So it's hard to, you almost have compassion for Leon because you're watching it in a certain angle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I definitely understand why people are outraged.
Yeah. And that being said, talking about people who are identifying with what's going on in this show, a viewer actually tweeted me. Her name is Stephanie from Michigan. Her at is Steph7273. She said, I loved the show tonight. The happy IVF story hit home since I myself did a few rounds of IVF.
Oh,
so I thought that was awesome because it shows like these, the things that they're talking about in this show, they're so real.
Mm-hmm.
And if they portray it correctly, people are going to identify with that and they're going to be so happy about the way that it's portrayed.
Absolutely.
But you can't make it too happy-go-lucky, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when it starts to become an issue and you just can't skip over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Now, to end on something a little happier, guys.
Thank you. Please. Let's lighten this load.
Time to lift everyone's spirits.
So basically, Brittany Snow, who plays Julia, for those of you who don't know, basically, she became engaged back in February to Tyler Staniland. He is a realtor out here in Southern California. And so she announced her engagement back in February. And people have been asking her questions nonstop about this wedding. When's it going to happen? What's your dress look like? This and that. And she's like, can you just give me a second to breathe while I plan?
I'm working, guys.
She's like, I want to be engaged. I want to like just relax for a minute. Right. But she finally came out to people saying that she has two things that she knows she for sure wants to be a part of her wedding, and the first one being her dog Billy that she wants in her wedding. Cannot forget her dog Billy. Those of you viewing on YouTube, you can see her little Billy right there.
Cute.
So precious. I'm not positive on what kind of dog that is. For those of you listening on the podcast,
it's a white dog.
It's a white dog.
It's a white teacup dog.
Its name is Billy. It could be a boy or a girl. We don't know, but. Her dog, Billy. And then the other thing that she wants included in her wedding is margaritas. So maybe a little margarita bar or something. I don't know. That'd be like a DIY do-it-yourself margarita.
Oh, that'd be
so fun. Maybe I'm giving her some ideas.
All right, Brittany. Well, make sure you give that credit to Jessica when you show up at your money with those margaritas.
Invite us. That's all.
Invite us. Thank you for the news and gossip.
Of course. It was fun.
So, Princess, let's get the special segment going.
All right, guys, our special segment is DNA Dominoes, where every week we will talk to you guys about a different celebrity and someone you may not know they're related to in the industry. So this week we have X's and O's singer Elle King. She was raised in Ohio by her mom and her stepbrother, but she was estranged from her father. Her father was a workaholic, so he couldn't be around. Now, this is a clue to tell you who he is. She was born Tanner L. Schneider. Can you guess her father is Rob Schneider, the only Schneider I know of in this industry.
Right. Is that
Rob
a name?
Schneider. Yes, thankfully the two have recently connected. Rob has had two younger children in recent years, and she wants to be involved in their lives.
Nice.
So as a result, the two have actually been able to come together, and she says that Rob is her biggest fan. So I'm happy
amazing.
To see them come together.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Is really cool. Yeah.
Kudos to you guys for working that out.
Yes, right? Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's tough. We got a couple of viewers tuning in, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's because
Jessie Jones, she's back. Thank you so much for being back this week. So basically, Logan Knight says, I hope the dad can be redeemed when he realizes that what he did was wrong. But Jazzy says, Logan, he shouldn't. Straight up.
She shut that down.
Yeah. Love that. And then she also said, congrats to Brittany Snow, which, yeah, we should have said that. Congrats, Brittany Snow, obviously. On the wedding. Can't wait.
Awesome. Well, that was amazing. I enjoyed tonight's show.
Yeah.
I really like how we dissected everything. Maybe we answered some questions for you guys, because the writers, they didn't really answer too many for us.
I don't know.
But we're looking forward to some more episodes to come. Again, my name is Brianna Cheyenne. You can follow me on Instagram at @IMB_Cheyenne, Cheyenne. And you can also catch me on 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days and about right now. Where can they find you guys?
You guys can find me at Jess Lucero Live on Instagram and Twitter. I also host A Million Little Things. That'll be tomorrow night at 7:10 p.m. So make sure to tune in, guys. Mm-hmm.
And I am Princess. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at PrincessCTV. And I'm also on the All Rise After Show, which is Monday nights.
All right. Thank you so much again for tuning in. See you next week.
Thanks,
bye.
Guys.
See you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.